In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. You probably haven't picked up on this personality trait of mine yet, but I love details. I'm a detail person. That's a surprise, right? And I think back over a lot of proofs I have of that go back to my childhood. So it's not something I learned in seminary. It's just part of my DNA, I guess. And it's part of my personal Bible study to pursue those details every time I prepare a sermon. I just really love taking every tangent that my mind brings up and exploring the details around the readings for each Sunday. It's a really sacred time that I look forward to every week. And that definitely was the case with Epiphany. You know, I look back through all the sermons I've done since I was ordained in 2002, and there's only, I think, two other times that Epiphany landed on a Sunday, that January 6th was on a Sunday. And so I wanted to explore that. Why is it January 6th? And I wanted to also explore this holiday that we don't have a feast of the Epiphany here. There's some plotting and scheming to maybe do a drama or something next year. But anyways, that'll come next year. But for us to just really explore, what is the deeper meaning of this holiday by such a weird name, the Epiphany? Well, first of all, on January 6th, I found out that it was celebrated in Egypt in ancient times as the winter solstice. And so there was a celebration that the sun god would make his appearance. So the days would start getting longer. There would be this appearance of the sun god, or this epiphany, this happening, this manifesting of the sun god. And it was in the 3rd century of the Christian church that Christians decided, well, we have our own epiphany that we want to make sure that we are paying attention to. And it's the making known, the manifesting of Jesus as Lord. And so in the 3rd century, there were 3 stories in Scripture that they connected to this observance of Epiphany. And one of them was the coming of the Magi, which is really significant because they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews, who were recognizing this is something holy and sacred that's happening, and we want to be part of it. So that was certainly a making known. That was an Epiphany. Secondly, was the baptism of Jesus, which was a pretty spectacular epiphany because this was God's voice coming out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I mean, that's about as obvious as an epiphany as there could be. And then third was the wedding in Cana, when Jesus showed his divinity and his ability to turn water into wine. So those 3 events were what was celebrated for centuries at the Feast of the Epiphany. And over the years, it has focused itself this week on the Magi, who finally made it, by the way, to the crèche scene. If you see here the manger scene, they finally quit their wandering and they made it to the stable, even though that's not the right timing, but I'll talk about that in a minute. So the baptism of Jesus is something we'll celebrate next Sunday. So it's over the centuries it has changed. So that's the detail of January 6th. Another detail is the Magi weren't kings, even though that's the song we sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." But the word Magi is a Greek word that refers to wise men who were astrologers, and they were interpreters of dreams. And it's believed that they were actually of a priestly class and probably from Babylon. And so it was widely believed at that time around the world that when a new star appeared, there was a great ruler being born somewhere. And so this star in the heavens appeared, and they knew that somewhere some new ruler was being born. At the time of Jesus' birth, Herod had built Jerusalem to be a spectacular city. It was a place to really behold. He had expanded and rebuilt the Jerusalem temple, and it had become just a spectacular house of worship. And so it makes sense that the wise men would head to Jerusalem, this major city, for the birth of a ruler. I mean, it just made sense that that would be where the star would lead them. And the word Epiphany in Greek, again, a Greek word, means manifestation. And the Feast of the Epiphany is the celebration of Jesus being manifested, being made known to the Magi from the East. So it's a celebration, and we see those echoes in Paul's letter that we read from the Ephesians today. This is not just a sect within Judaism. This is a revelation. This is a making known. It's for everybody. It's for all of humanity. Another detail, the Magi were not at the stable when Jesus was born. If you look at the wording in the second chapter of Matthew that we read, it says that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Magi went to Jerusalem, not to Bethlehem, they went to Jerusalem. And when King Herod heard about them, that they were there in town, and what they were there looking for, he asked the chief priests when the Messiah, when the Christ, was to be born, or where, rather. And the answer was Bethlehem. And so he sent them there. And when they went there, what Scripture says is they went to the house. It didn't say they went to the stable. It didn't say they went to the manger. It said they went to the house where they met Mary and the child. So this was after Jesus' birth. And we don't know how long after, but it wasn't part of the gathering when the shepherds came down from the hills. It was something that happened later. So that's why I have so much fun having the wise men figure out their way to the stable, and they bounce around the nave trying to figure out how to get there and finally show up. Another detail, the Magi did go to the wrong place, but it's important to note God made it happen anyways. God ended up handling Herod's jealous reaction to a possible rival ruler, right, and still directing them to the right place. And I just love being reminded that God is God, we're not, and God's will is going to happen, and God will find a way to make it work out according to God's plan. So we need to consider the ways that God ends up surprising us in all sorts of ways, and how Jesus is revealed to us. I think about the event a couple months ago of us going over to the food bank to assemble the snack bags for the kids. And when I announced that event, I was asking for 10 or 12 people to join me, and I had 28 who signed up and who came. And we had five-year-olds from the preschool. We had Nyla come with her walker. We had extended families. We had preschool families. We had church families. We had every age possible. God was there. We went there to serve the children, and it's very obvious we served God. And it was just wonderful to see Jesus' presence, his loving and caring for these kids that showed, and all the people who showed up to help. So we, looking at the details of the story of the wise men, helps us to realize what an important day this really is in the church year. It's one that we should really take notice of, Epiphany. It marks Jesus being revealed to everybody on the planet, not just to Israel. It marks God's power to take those wandering magi to exactly the place they needed to be. Having their GPS on their camels turned off didn't matter. God was still going to do what God was going to do. Having Herod, this jealous ruler who thought nothing of killing people in his own family in order to secure his position as king, that didn't matter. God still did what God needed to do. The humble birth of this baby in a pretty humble housing arrangement didn't matter. God made it happen, just exactly the way God wanted it to happen. When you and I are in the flow of God's purpose, God makes things happen. And I think that's part of our challenge as Christians to figure out when are we in the flow of God's purpose? When are we in the flow of God's grace? How do we sense that in the way we get responses to the efforts that we make to do things? And how do we learn the discernment to say, you know, it looks like I'm not going the direction God wants me to, and I need to try another direction and see what response I get. That's what the wise men did, and they weren't even followers of God. Just think if they had decided, well, I went to Jerusalem, he wasn't there, so I'm going home. But that's not what they did. They were open to whatever direction God would lead them. And it was a God they really didn't even know, but they still understood that they had a need to respond to this calling that they felt. May this epiphany be a reminder of the time each of us discovered or we rediscover God's love made known to us in a personal way to us. May we always be open to new ways for God to be revealed to us. And may our spiritual journeys, may your spiritual journey be filled with epiphanies. Amen.